So coming up, we're going to be chatting to Dr. Marina Jobert, science and communications researcher. She wrote an interesting paper on misinformation and the coronavirus. And I think it's important for us to be cognizant of some of the fake things floating around out there because people are affected by it. You know, John Latham yesterday spoke about one of the fake news bits that he heard. And that was that apparently America created the virus in order to attack China. I mean, it's the biggest load of codswallop, right? But we also need to be able to see the wood from the trees, and we also need to be very careful where we get our information from. If someone, for example, says to me, oh, I got it off Facebook, I laugh at them. I laugh at them. Facebook's an echo chamber. They allow all sorts of lies, misleading political advertising, all those sort of things tied up in there. So we need to be very careful where we get our information from. So joining you, Dr. Marina Jobert, science and communications researcher at Stellenbosch University. Marina, thank you so much for your time.
Yes, good morning, Kino.
So what, maybe it's a bit of a silly question, but let me ask it nonetheless. What actually drove you to write this piece? And if you can, for those who've not read it, give us a little bit of a insight into it.
Well, Kinder, for me, when there is a public health scare, like we see at the moment with the coronavirus, it is an ideal time for scientists to reach out and engage with the public because people are hungry for information, and we have experts working on viruses and on contagious diseases who can really give excellent information and accurate, you know, evidence-based information. But of course, it is a problem that at a time like this, there's also a lot of misinformation doing the rounds. So my reason for writing it was, well, there were really many reasons, but I think what you've talked about now, to advise people to really be more critical about what they read and just ask themselves, you know, is somebody here just trying to incite more fear and panic and so on? And to really think critically when you encounter news and look at the source. Very, very important. Mm. Does it come from a reputable, credible organization? Do they quote scientists? Do they quote peer-reviewed research? So that's the first thing. But then the other reason why I wrote it is I really want, as a science communication researcher, make scientists and scientific organizations aware that this is a good time to show that they are serving the public interest. Mm. So those who have information should be proactive. They shouldn't wait for a journalist to come to them. You know, they should reach out. They should participate in the debate. They should have public talks, because now is the time when people really want the information.
Yeah, and the thing about science is you deal with objective facts. And objective facts are facts, no matter what the opinion, the facts are the facts. Now, and this is the challenge with the media. And I say media, and I use that term advisedly. You get the traditional media where you have news editors, you've got sub-editors, you've got desk editors in radio. They look at what gets sent in, they check the veracity, and it makes its way to air or it makes its way onto a newspaper. But media is a lot broader now. You've got big media companies, and that's exactly what people like Facebook is, for example, and if one just thinks about Twitter, where information can be posted by any Tom, Dick, and Harry
without
it being curated, without it being looked at, and without it being fact-checked. And that, to me, is one of the biggest problems, which is why I think places like Facebook and Twitter need to be regulated a little bit more stringently.
Yes. I agree with you 100%. If you think about it, 30, 40 years ago, the media, the mainstream traditional media, really controlled the news. We talk about gatekeepers in the media. We had all those editors and professional journalists who were more careful and discerning about what they wrote about.
Sure.
Today, you not only have social media where anyone can create and share and click and, you know, forward news, but you also have, you know, media that I think is also sometimes guilty. Other, you know, sort of broader types of media organizations can also be guilty of you know, duplicating false information and rumors. So it's changed a lot. And why I agree with you that people should be super careful about what they encounter on Facebook and Twitter, I also think that scientists who are credible sources of information should learn to use those tools and those channels so that they can counteract the misinformation they come across there. Because if they completely avoid those channels, there will be nobody there to speak out and stand up for the science. So part of my message to scientists is, you know, get onto Twitter, get onto Facebook, become a part of those channels and make sure that there's accurate information. Don't look away or sigh or roll your eyes only when you see false information. Do something about it.
Are you on Twitter?
Otherwise, you know. I am, yes, indeed.
What's your handle?
Marina Huber. Yeah, at Marina Huber.
At Marina Huber. I'm going to follow. I'm going to do that. I'll be following you to get some credible advice. I sometimes switch off Twitter and Facebook because I can't stand what I read. I mean, there are some newspapers who don't do it either, but that's because of their ownership, but we won't go down there, that particular route. Are there particular stories, bits of misinformation that you can highlight that people should not be listening to? What are some of the things that's driven you to do this?
Well, I came across a story a few days ago that the Chinese government is seeking permission from the High Court in China to kill 20,000 people infected with the virus so that they can stop the spread of the disease. And I thought to myself, how can anybody believe something like that? And this is the kind of information that's doing the rounds and that's actually been duplicated in some media organizations in Africa, which is really, really sad. And also, I'm personally affected by the current story because my son got married just more than a week ago with a Chinese woman from China. She's a Chinese national. And her family really had a lot of problems coming out to South Africa because of travel restrictions. They had to change their flights multiple times. While they were here in South Africa, they experienced some anti-Chinese sentiments in restaurants and so on, where people were hesitant to serve them when they heard that they were speaking Mandarin. And so when a story affects you personally, you really share. I saw how upset they were, how worried they are. They live very, very far away from the affected area in China, but they were worried about going back because they arrived back in China yesterday and all of them went through stringent hours-long tests before they were allowed back into China. And now that they're back in their homes, they are all under a two-week quarantine. Some of them have young children, even babies, and they're not allowed to see their own families for 2 weeks now. So it's kind of becomes very personal and real. And it also made me realize that at a time like this, we really have to be... Yes, of course, there's reason to be concerned. Of course, you have to be careful. But we also have to remember that there's people behind this and people that are affected. And if you think about it, it is still, compared to the Spanish flu of 1918 or other diseases, you know, it's still a very controlled outbreak. And you, of course, you have to inform yourself and look at the evidence. But it's also very unreal, I would say irrational to now start discriminating against anybody who's Chinese.
I was actually chatting to Bruce Hong, who is my former producer, and I said to him, listen, do you get discriminated against? He said, actually, no, he doesn't. But he said one of his family members, extended family members at a well-off school in the sort of Bloberg area, the little child, another kid came to this child, who happens to be half Chinese, by the way, and said, oh, no, we must stay away from Chinese people.
Yeah,
it's that type of nonsense that parents spread that needs to be dealt with. And I'm so happy we're having this chat, Marina. Mm-hmm. So credible sources, when you say credible sources, in closing, I mean, other than our traditional media like Cape Talk, where we get it right most of the time, and News 24, et cetera, what other credible sources can people go to find out more, particularly about this particular virus?
I think look at the websites of the World Health Organization, major news organizations, and when you come across a story in the media that you normally consume, even if it is social media, look at whether they actually spoke to a scientist and whether this person is attached to a university or the Medical Research Council, any organization that is a public educational or research organization, I think should be credible. You can then look a little bit further at who they quote and whether the links actually work. And if it's written, I mean, it's ironic, but many of these stories that are false are often badly, badly written with lots of spelling errors in them. If you come across something like that, please just delete, don't forward it, don't share it.
No, indeed. And I'm so happy, Marina, that you're sharing this advice. And if there's any other updates, you know what, you've got a link to us, let us know. I'm happy to put it out on air. Is there anything you want to say in closing?
Yes, I think I'm actually, you know, as I say, while obviously we really emphasize as people are affected by this virus, at the same time, a crisis is also an opportunity. So it's a time for scientists to engage and to build bridges with journalists and to show, for me, you know, scientists work with public money, so they have to give something back to the public, and this is a good time for them to do it.
Amen on that one, Dr. Marina Yobar.